Hi, everybody. It is a great pleasure for me to be here today and to present you my work at the APHA conference. The presentation I will make is the first part of my PhD thesis, and its name, Prevalence and Correlates of Weight Goal Adoption that Matches Weight Status Among a Representative Population-Based Sample of Quebec Teenagers. Just before beginning my presentation, I want to make two specifications. First, that neither of both authors had the relationship to disclose. And second, I want to excuse myself for my big French accent that you will hear throughout all the presentation. Okay, we can begin. There is a general agreement that in literature that weight management strategy concept had two underlying dimensions, namely a pursued weight goal and weight-related behavior used to reach the pursued weight goal. Furthermore, each of those both dimensions had different components in their constitution. As for example, some authors can classify weight-related behavior used to reach weight goals under different labels. Examples of that are healthy behaviors, moderately unhealthy behaviors, and very unhealthy behaviors. Other examples can be health-promoting, health-compromising behaviors, or even abnormal versus normal eating behaviors. For the other dimension of the weight management strategy concept, that is the pursued weight goal, the first component is the weight goal itself. Indeed, there are four possible weight goals. That is weight gain, weight loss, weight maintenance, and doing nothing concerning weight. However, each of those weight goals can be healthy or unhealthy, depending on the individual weight status. And it is for this reason that we include individual weight status as the other component of pursued weight goal dimensions. Then we add two components with four categories, and when we combine this category, we obtain 16 possible combinations. And the specific purpose of my presentation here today will be to regroup all those 16 possible combinations under a dichotomous variable, which represent the nature of the pursued weight goal as salutogenic or pathogenic. A salutogenic weight goal will be an individual who is trying to reach a weight goal who matches the individual weight status, and a pathogenic weight goal will be an individual who has the opposite, is trying to reach a weight goal who mismatch the individual weight status. Then my presentation followed two objectives. First, it was to estimate proportions of teens adopting a weight goal matching and mismatching weight status in a representative population-based sample of adolescents. And my second objective was to identify individual and contextual level correlates of adopting a pathogenic weight goal. In order to reach those two research objectives, we use a representative population-based sample of Quebec adolescents. This sample was constructed in 1999 with the help of the Quebec Institute of Statistics. The name of the sample was Quebec Health and Social Survey of Children and Adolescents. In this sample, we find children age 9 and teenagers age 13 and 16. As the purpose of my study was on adolescents, I exclude the 9-year-old children, and I only kept adolescents age 13 and 16. In 1999, the estimated population of the Quebec province in Canada was about 7.3 million of people. The estimated population of teenagers age 13 and 16 was more or less 168,000. In order to have a smaller representative sample, the individual who made the sample followed a three-step stratification procedures. First, the province of Quebec was stratified according administrative area, according school language, according school zone, and according school size. In each of those stratum, high schools were randomly selected. We obtained 182 high schools. The response rate for school was about 97.1%. In each of those high school, teenagers were then randomly selected across age and sex group. The final sample was about 2,346 adolescents aged 13 and 16, and this sample was deemed representative of 98.1% of the Quebec teenagers aged 13 and 16. Descriptive statistics were more or less equally divided between sex and age, and differential response rates were all corrected by whiffing procedures. Then, with this sample, we made an outcome variable. The outcome variable was constructed with two variables. The first, it was with a self-report weight goal variable. Currently, what are you doing concerning your weight? Each four possible weight goals were possible answers to this question. The other variable included in the outcome variable was the measure height and weight transposed into cold BMI tables with underweight, normal weight, overweight, and obese weight as possible answers. And like I said in the background slide of this presentation, when we combine those two times four possible categories, we obtain 16 possible combinations. On those combinations, 11 of those were pathogenic weight goal. An example of that can be a normal weight girl who still want to lose weight. And the five other were salutogenic weight goal, as for example, an overweight girl, an overweight boy who want to lose weight. Then with this outcome variable, we were able to compute the weight proportions of adolescents with salutogenic and pathogenic weight goal, and by this way, answer to our first research objective. Our second research objective was answered with different multi-level logistic regression models predicting the adoption of a pathogenic weight goal. We ran different models. First, a new model was launched in order to know if there are pathogenic weight goal proportion, different pathogenic weight goal proportion across high school. Then after that, we also launched an individual level model, a contextual level model, and finally a final model with complete data for all level significant correlates. Results were the following. First, to answer our first research objective, we note that 69% of adolescents aged 13 and 16 were pursuing a salutogenic weight goal. That is, more than two-thirds of the population was, in fact, pursuing a weight goal who matched the individual weight status. We also found that 69% and 31% were then pursuing a pathogenic weight goal. We found that those results were age-dependent. However, they were not sex-dependent. They were age-dependent in that sense that older teens were more likely to follow the pathogenic weight goal than their younger teenager counterpart. In order to answer our second objective, we found only one predictor of pathogenic weight goal adoption, and this predictor was body dissatisfaction. If we saw here in the body satisfied part of the sample, which is about 40.4% of the sample, only 18% of teenagers aged 13 and 16 were pursuing a pathogenic weight goal. However, in the remaining part of the sample, which are body dissatisfied, that is 59.6% of the sample, 39.2% of adolescents were pursuing a pathogenic weight goal, which is more than two times that in the body satisfied part of the sample, which gave us another just odd ratio of 2.9, and this odd ratio kept its significance even when we adjust it for all bivariate significant predictors. As a summary, we can say that a majority of adolescents were pursuing a salutogenic weight goal, in fact 69%, and 31% were then pursuing a weight goal who mismatched the individual weight status. Salutogenic weight goal proportion was age-dependent, with older teens being more likely to adopt pathogenic weight goals. It was not sex-dependent. And finally, only one predictor of pathogenic weight goal was found in the final multivariate multilevel model. It was body dissatisfaction. As conclusion, we think that taking in account the weight status, the individual weight status of the individual who trying to reach a weight goal, allows for more relevant public health and health promotion intervention, because weight goal itself is not healthy or unhealthy. It depends on the individual weight status. And I think that this way to conceptualize weight goal should be taken in account. And finally, research is needed concerning behavior used to reach weight goals in order first to create psychometrically well-sound composite indicators of weight management strategies, and also to work on the other component of weight management strategy. And just before saying you goodbye, I want to reassure everybody that now I'm trying to work on this part of weight management strategy. Thank you. I hope I will have questions.
We have time for questions. Let's go ahead.
Anybody? Please. You want to know if I have verified what about the underweight people are looking for?
If there was a percentage of people who were under a healthy weight.
Okay.
Ah,
okay. Underweight people who want to lose weight, it's about less than 5% of the population. But we have a little bit more than the prevalence of eating disorders. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is the percentage of the kid overweight in all the sample?
Yes. And then it's a.
Prevalence of overweight in teenager age 13 and 16 was about a little bit more than 15%. It was less than 20 and more than 15. I don't remember exactly. And usually those teens want to lose weight, but it's not always the case. And especially maybe for boys who is more acceptable to be overweight in terms of the attainment of ideal bodies. Yeah.
So Matthew, were you surprised by the findings there were no gender differences?
First I was surprised. Because in eating and weight related things there were always gender differences, but there are two kind of ideal body. One for a girl, which is to be thin but muscular. You know the somatotypes.
Mm-hmm.
We have mesomorphic. We have mesomorphic, ectomorphic, and I don't remember the endomorphic. For girls, the ideal bodies is mi-ectomorphic, mi-mesomorphic, which is thin but muscular too. And for boys, the ideal bodies is real mesomorphic body, which is really, really, really strong and muscular. And I'm not surprised about the no gender differences because pathogenic weight goal was associated with body dissatisfaction, and body dissatisfaction is experienced by both girls and boys. But however, for girls it was toward a body, and boys it was toward another. And maybe in that sense, this could explain the absence of gender differences. Yeah. You want to know if a normal weight, a slightly overweight, we want to maintain?
Right. So like an overweight 13-year-old who said they were wanting to maintain their weight.
Okay. It will be pathogenic in that sense that a salutogenic weight goal, in my conceptualization of things, it's when an individual is trying to reach normal weight. Or overweight if she is obese, but toward... toward the normal weight.
So I think about it, I mean, I think for a, you know, when you do get into classifications of weight status, but for a, you know, moderately overweight 13-year-old, maintaining
Yeah, this is a limitation of my things. We can make another critique, and in fact, this is really, really more disturbing for me. It was, for example, a normal weight girl with a BMI of 24, maybe, which want to only lost a few pounds, but still remain in the normal weight range. My conceptualization will classify them as pathogenic, even if it's salutogenic, in fact. A finer outcome variable much be developed, but my sample does not allow me the possibility to do that. We are only trying to begin at somewhere, but this is a limitation, and I had to acknowledge it when I submit the paper on that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, I'd like to introduce Dr. Catherine Alimo. She's from the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at Michigan State University.